Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What verse have we got on the board there? 28? Yep. Tana nayadva masato vimukan mukunda. Padara vinda makaranda rasada jasram. Niskinchanai paramahamsa kulara sangair. Jushtad grihe niraya vartmani bada trishnan. Tanana yadva masato vimukan mukunda. Padara vinda makaranda rasada jasram. Niskinchanai paramahamsa kulara sangair. Jushtad grihe niraya vartmani bada trishnan. Tanana yadva masato vimukan mukunda. Padara vinda makaranda rasada jasram. Niskinchanai paramahamsa kulaira sangair. Jushtad grihe niraya vartmani bada trishnan. Tan. Them. Anayadvam. Bring before me. Asataha. Non-devotees. Those who have not taken to Krishna consciousness. Vimukhan. Who have turned against. Mukunda. Of Mukunda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pada Aravinda. Of the lotus feet. Makaranda. Of the honey. Rasat. The taste. Ajasram. Continuously. Niskinchanai. By persons. Completely free from material attachment. Paramahamsa kulai. By the Paramahamsas, the most exalted personalities. Asangai, who have no material attachment. Jushtat, which is enjoyed. grihe, to household life, nirayavartmani, the path leading to hell, badatrishnan, whose desires are bound. Paramahamsas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with paramahamsas, and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. Purport. After warning the Yamadutas not to approach the devotees, Yamaraj now indicates, thank you, who is to be brought before him. He specifically advises the Yamadutas to bring him the materialistic persons who are attached to household life merely for sex. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yan Maitunadi Grihamayedi Sukam Hituchum. People are attached to household life for sex only. They are always harassed in many ways by their material engagements, and their only happiness is that after working very hard all day, at night they sleep and indulge in sex. Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Vyavayena Chava Vayaha. At night, materialistic householders sleep or indulge in sex life. Diva Chathe Hoya Rajan Kutumba Bharanena Va. During the day, they are busy trying to find out where money is, and if they get money, they spend it to maintain their families. Yamaraj specifically advises his servants to bring these persons to him for punishment, and not to bring the devotees who always lick the honey at the lotus feet of the Lord, who are equal to everyone and who try to preach Krishna consciousness because of sympathy for all living entities. Devotees are not liable to punishment by Yamaraj, but persons who have no information of Krishna consciousness cannot be protected by their material life of so-called family enjoyment. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 4, Deha Patya Kala Tradishvat Masanyesh Vasatvapi Tesham Pramato Nidhanam Pasyan Apina Pasyati. Such persons complacently believe that their nations, communities, or families can protect them, unaware that all such fallible soldiers will be destroyed in due course of time. In conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. Om Magyana Timirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Who does he belong to? He's yours, Ariloka? He's yours? What's he looking for? His mum. You. His friend. Tell him to go and get his friend. Oh, here he is. His friend's here. Good. He's found his friend. Always good to have a friend in the Bhagavatam class, right? That's what this is all about. If there's no friend in the Bhagavatam class, then you're lost. Hare Krishna. So, fairly simple message here. And Prabhupada has kind of inverted this into choice. You know, what defines a devotee? And and really underlines the purpose for establishing ISKCON and the purpose for establishing ISKCON is to create a sangha, a group or an association, a gathering of like-minded people so that they could so we can engage in this process of self-realization. Because otherwise, I mean, we're all working, right? Anybody here who's not working? Apart from the kids. And you're all working anyway. Going to school? Yep. So we're all working, right? And obviously, we have families, so there's a lot of similarities between what we do and what the ordinary persons do. Right? Some of us, we're working very hard. And what's the purpose of working hard? Tell me. Make money. Yeah. Anybody lost sight of the fact that we're working hard to make money? Otherwise, why would you do it? Right? If your boss doesn't pay you at the end of the week, what do you do? Huh? You get pretty worried. Right? You hope he's going to pay you the next week. But if he stops paying you altogether, what do? You go and find another job. Huh? And what do we do with that money? What do we do with that money? Maintain family. Yeah, some of us are maintaining more than one family. So, in essence, the external activities are not very different. Not very different. But what's the difference? The difference is that the devotees will come together to serve Krishna, but for no real material benefit, right? We don't get a material benefit. Well, maybe we do get some material benefits from coming and hearing the Bhagavatam class, right? We do get peace of mind, right? We get knowledge. And that's mentioned here. This is what the param. So there's a difference here. There's two types of persons being described here in this verse, right? There's the Paramahamsa, and then there's the what are we called here? Grihe Niraya Vartmani Bada Trishnan. Right, those who are on the path to hell. Right? And why are they on the path to hell? Because they've got material desires, basically. They have desires to enjoy themselves materially. And so that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The devotee's main purpose for existence is to please Krishna and to please the devotees. And in the process, there's a pursuit of material activities as well, because you know we're stuck in the material world, but at the same time we know that we're not of the material world. This is the dilemma. The dilemma of material existence is: yes, we're part of the material sphere, if you like. And so, even for the devotees, eating, sleeping, sense gratification, protection, defense, I guess. These activities have to be performed even by devotees. Right? But the focus of the devotees is different. It's aspiring for or working towards where the balance is, the balance between material and spiritual is negligible, right? And so therefore then material life, if you like, needs to be pursued. We've got to go and work, we've got to eat, we've got to sleep. You can't, you know, even Prabhupada makes the point, you know, there are those who try to renounce everything and go to the forest or go to a secluded place, but what do they achieve? They're still not able to purify themselves, and so still material desires remain. Which is why Krishna says to Arjuna, you know, what can repression accomplish? Better to take those natural proclivities and natural tendencies and engage them in a positive way in service to Krishna. This is how we get the balance. We are going to act. If we don't glorify Krishna, then we'll be glorifying someone. What is it in Indian culture? Who do we glorify in Indian culture? Or in any culture? Who are we glorifying at the moment? Sports stars. Yeah, whoever can jump on skis the longest, or, you know, do a half pipe with so many spins and twirls, right? I mean, when you look at it, it's kind of like, what? Is that the pinnacle of human existence? You know, I used to see the monkeys at the zoo do this kind of stuff, right? Or it's politicians, or it's musicians, right? These are the people that we will glorify. But we take that propensity, and rather than glorify really insignificant achievements by insignificant people, really, we glorify the Supreme Person. Huh? Of course, and it's very interesting because we're living in a culture where most of the people think that God doesn't exist. This is how diametrically opposed that Krishna consciousness is to materialistic effort and endeavour. Most of them, you know, there is a small proportion, but the majority don't. They're surprised that we can give, that God has a name. Well, they don't even believe in God, and so when we present details about who God is and what he does, that's just alarming for them. That's shocking. Shocking. Used to shock me, you know. I met the devotees and they were so sure, yeah, Krishna's God. Here's where he lives, here what he does. So I'm like, whoa, how do you guys know that? Huh? Where do you get that stuff from? So Yamaraj is saying, bring me those people. Right? There's plenty of them. The Yamadutas must be fairly busy. at any time, they're busy. People are dying all the time. And in this state of ignorance. Right? And then they're going for punishment. Something that materialistic people don't like. What is this? Why is God so heavy-handed and high and mighty? You know that if you know you don't know what's going on, and then you get punished for it. And he's supposed to be a loving God, right? How's that a show of love? This is you know, this kind of conundrum for people is a big challenge, right? That How can God? I mentioned this story more than once before. My mum and dad used to go to church all the time, every week. When I was a kid, every week we went to church. In fact, I used to serve on the altar on Wednesdays when we were living at Port Pirie. I was an altar boy, which means you're kind of like the servant of the priest. Every Wednesday morning, I have to wake up at 6 o'clock. I guess my parents persuaded me to do it. But I also liked the priest. I was, you know, he was used to teach religious instruction. And so we used to go. So my parents, every week, then I noticed later in life that my parents stopped going to church. And I asked my mum, why don't you go to church? And my mother said to me, she said, I find it hard to believe in a God who's good, and there's so much suffering in the world. Why is that? Huh? I had to explain to my mum, well, it's not God's fault, mum. It's what people are doing. You know the laws of physics. As you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. This is just a law of nature. And even within the Christian teachings, we have this, as you sow, so you shall reap, right? Which is like the farmer plants his seeds, tills the land, plants the seed, the rains come, and then poof, up comes the crop, right? But this is a big challenge for the materialistic people. They want to blame, if God exists, then they'll blame him for everything that goes wrong, and not want to accept responsibility for themselves. Right? But this can be a real challenge, these conundrums for people who have no faith in God. Yet, according to the plans, according to the systems, you know, this is how one is rectified. It is one methodology for rectification. And what's that? What's it called? Starts with a P. Punishment. Punishment according to the universal laws. And you know, reactions for one's deeds. It's not very difficult to understand, actually. And you know, for the devotees, even Krishna mentions this in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that devotees will naturally seek out the association of those engaged in glorifying Krishna. They're okay for me. Anybody else disturbed by a little bubbling down there? It's only bubbling. It's not howling or. No crying, at least. Prabhupada didn't like children crying in class. And fair enough, because it was a disturbance. But if there's a little murmuring, it's okay. And you know, in a community like ours, how can you avoid kids? Hi, Griva, how can you avoid kids? I don't think you can you? No. Now, so, there's a natural inclination in a devotee to want to associate with, and so they're naturally attracted to those principles, right? Hearing and chanting, glorifying the Lord, and associating with the Paramahamsas, right? So Yamaraj is saying, don't bring the Paramahamsas, obviously, and also don't bring those who associate with the Paramahamsas, those who aspire to be Paramahamsas. They may not be Paramahamsas just yet, right? But because they're on the path of perfection, then they still have faith in God. Right? Those who have faith. And of course, you know, the process of bhakti, the nine processes of bhakti, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtanam, are designed to increase, to build, to develop that faith. This hearing and chanting especially is the process by which the devotees build faith and understanding and commitment. Right? Commitment to chanting Hare Krishna, to following the principles, to understanding the philosophy, to understanding the subtle aspects of, you know, it's pious to go to a temple and pray to God, right? It's pious. But a lot of people just go to the temple, or any temple, demigods in India especially, and they're just praying, oh, Ganesh ji or whoever, Ma, you know, they're praying, give me wealth, give me influence, give me fame. It's pious because they believe in a higher being, but are self-motivated. It's just to get things for yourself. Whereas Prabhupada explains that a higher principle is recognize God but want to serve. You know, a devotee understands, I'll be looked after, but let me serve you, Krishna. And of course, you know, that's really the premise upon which our society is based. So those devotees who have natural affinity for the process of the nine processes of devotional service and to associate with the Paramahamsas, and by that association gradually build their love and affection for Krishna, become Paramahamsas themselves. Yamaraj says, don't bring me any of those people, only bring me those who deserve to receive the consequences of their actions, even if it's out of ignorance, right? Prabhupada makes the point. If you put your hand in, or a baby, well, you know, right? But say if a baby doesn't know that if you put your hand in fire, you get burnt, right? What happens when a child puts it, gets burnt? There's the law of... there's nothing wrong with that. And of course, it's a learning experience. It might be more than that. A tragedy. But, you know, just because one is ignorant of the laws doesn't mean that one is not culpable. And why the association of the devotees is so important? Because basically what Prabhupada says here, you know... The final conclusion, what does Prabhupada say in the final sentence? In conclusion, so it's fairly clear to work out what Prabhupada's talking about here in this purport. There's always some giveaway lines in Prabhupada's purports. So if you want to find out what he's saying, one of the opening lines Prabhupada will say is, in conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. Yeah. So this is our purpose. This is the purpose of ISKCON, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to create an environment where we can be engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. Even sleeping is devotional service. If we're resting the body to do some service tomorrow or today or whenever, right? Even our sleeping, our dreaming can be thinking of Krishna, thinking of doing service, thinking, dreaming of the devotees. So even what appear to be very mundane activities, the power of bhakti is that what might ordinarily be considered mundane activities, eat, what is it, ahara nidra bayam maitunum cha, right? Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Even these, you know, activities of bodily maintenance and bodily engagement, even these activities are spiritualized by engagement in devotional service. So we take prasadam, right? We eat in a regulated way and not too much, not too little balance to maintain the body, right? Sleeping, Prabhupada says, don't sleep more than 6 hours a day. Although he does modify, in different places he says different amounts. 7 hours. I tried 6 hours, but I just can't do it anymore. I tried it, it doesn't fit my system. In the last year, I changed my alarm clock, so every time I go to bed, I wake up 7 hours later. And I wake up awake, rather than, what happened, where am I? Why do I feel terrible? But anyway, you know, sleep to a modicum, to, you know, not sleep like a bear in a mode of ignorance. So even sleeping can be used, it's used in our spiritual practice. Even having children is done in devotional service, is purified, spiritualized, and defending, you know, protecting ourselves so that we can do our service is purified by engagement in devotional service. So we feel ourselves very fortunate to have that opportunity to associate with like-minded devotees who at least believe in, at least they have faith and are focused on developing their Krishna consciousness, and they get their satisfaction from hearing and chanting, hearing and glorifying Krishna, which is the mood of the Paramahamsas. These are the type of... And you know, the first qualification for a devotee recognized by Lord Chaitanya, asat sanga tyag, the devotees give up material association. And it's very much in sound vibration. Prabhupada says, we associate by sound. He said, this is the reality of existence. Prabhupada says, the body is not very important, actually. Of course, without it, you can't exist. So it's definitely important. But in relationship with associating with the devotees, the important thing is then having hearing, basically hearing. And it's interesting, we can do that. Just like there are probably devotees now listening to class. Right, they're not able to not hear, but they're listening, and that's more important even than seeing is hearing. You know, sometimes people say seeing is believing, but not always. You know, have you heard of what they call deep fakes? Technology now, where they marry a couple of algorithms to create the sound and images of a person, but it isn't actually them. Right? And then criminals use this technology to influence companies, especially big companies, to send them money, right? They will send an email in the chief financial, or say in the CEO's name or whatever, to the chief financial officer, saying, "Oh, there's an important payment that we need to make to XYZ." Right? Then what they will do is they'll get somebody impersonating the voice. They've already captured the voice and are able to simulate it, right? And then ring up, and with that voice, then convince the person that actually it's his boss when it's not. This is pretty. So this article that I was reading, because cyber risk is a big risk at the moment. Millions of, how many times a week do you get rung up by somebody who wants to tell you that your internet is not working properly and can you turn on your computer so they can help you find out what the problem is? And in the process, steal your bank account details. Huh? How many of you have had that? I get it at least once a week. At least once a week I get somebody ringing me up to tell me that my computer's been infiltrated by somebody and they want to help protect me. So, oh, thank you. Why don't you go and get a decent job? His name is Mike, but it sounds like he's from Calcutta or Mumbai. So seeing is not believing, right? Even hearing is not believing sometimes in this situation. You need to check, right? We don't just hear from anybody. We are selective about who we hear from. So there are people who are out to cheat us, right? But Prabhupada says the most important, once we've ascertained the validity, right, of a person, and this is really critical to spiritual life, is finding the right association, right? Why Prabhupada says we need to find a bona fide spiritual master. We need a bona fide sangha. Well, and we test it. Well, like Smit was saying to me the other day, I mentioned this in class the other day also, Smit was saying, there's so many people around here who want to tell you what to do. I said, yep, this is the Hare Krishna movement. Every Hare Krishna is a guru and they'll all tell you what to do. But, you know, you need to have faith in who's telling you, right? You need to have, and you need to know that that person knows you, right? So Prabhupada recommends in a few places, he doesn't emphasize this, although he does say, you know, when you go to the marketplace and you want to buy some pots for the kitchen, right, you tap them, you test them to see whether they've been constructed properly or not, right? So similarly also in the association of the devotees, we should test to see who's giving you good advice and who's not. I used to get so bewildered because the personalities that we had in this temple, you know, I used to have Sanghana, Bhakta Mark in those days. Aniruddha, what are we going to do? You know, so he would always be telling me or asking me. He was always in a state of confusion. And then I had to, I guess I shouldn't name names, but other devotees who used to constantly focus on the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam and the hellish planets and what was going to, you know, and that the earth was flat, right? You know, the earth is flat. So I was like, okay. Got the bewilderment from this guy, and the earth is flat over here. And I used to think, what have I done? What happened? So, yeah, we need to hear from the right sources. And we need to test those sources also. We don't just accept anybody as being a valid source of information. Even amongst the devotees, we have to be a little selective. Got to work out what's going on around here. But in principle, this is why Prabhupada established our society. I'll read you something. I read a few things just before coming, and it was very interesting. What Prabhupada wait a minute, how do I find? Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Very good. No. Lost it. Anyway, Prabhupada was making a point that this purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to create that environment, right? To create that. And he was saying, we have built hundreds of temples, right? So that people can come together just to glorify Krishna. Where people can come together to render service. And you know, the temple is that place where people can gather to associate and to share that that pleasure, that enjoyment, that, what is it here? It's mentioned here. Makaranda, isn't it? Makaranda. Pada Aravinda Makaranda Rasat. Ajasram. Right, yeah. Padaravinda Makaranda Rasada Jasram, who can taste the honey of the lotus feet continuously. That's the purpose of our society, is for us to come together to hear and chant, to remember our relationship with Krishna, and then to work in that relationship and derive pleasure from so doing. We don't get paid to do what we're doing. Some of us might get supported by the temple, but it's not, you know, there's nobody who's getting huge amounts of money to do what they're doing, and certainly none of the householders. In fact, they enjoy coming to the temple. Not only that, they give their money freely, right? Give donations freely because they're happy. If you take away their service, or, you know, in the COVID situation, nobody, we didn't take away people's service, but it looked like it, and they're complaining. Give me my service back. There's a few serial whingers. Chitrubhu's just getting sick of them. Come on, give me my service back. All right. So, you know, the devotees love to do service. They love to come to the temple. They can't. So these people, Yamaraj is saying, don't bring me these people. Right? And Prabhupada's saying, these are the people that we should associate with. Right. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. We associate with those kind of people, we'll become like them. This is the importance of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is that we're creating an environment where if you associate in that setting, then you will become like the devotees. You'll become a devotee, right? Not, you know, you can't not be influenced and make spiritual progress. Okay, I'm going to finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Mahatmaji, Gopal. What was the first?
People past times of Krishna, like demons.
Yes.
In like Kali Yuga, the people that atheists or whoever hate Krishna,
yes.
Like they really hate him.
Yes, they're going to meet Yamaraj.
Yeah, but they're always thinking of him. So
they're always thinking of Krishna.
Yeah, so they're always thinking of
the way they
hate
him.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think people like that are pretty rare, to be honest. You know, somebody like Kamsa is pretty rare to always be thinking of Krishna, but in an antagonistic way. But we see for those who, you know, somebody like Kamsa, he actually, because of that thinking, did get some benefit from that, right? Krishna's always kind and merciful. So I don't know whether we get people quiet at that level of animosity. Do you have any examples that you can think of?
A person that always says that they love, but then they always read scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, stuff like that, that they always say that they love. So, like, I forgot what they were called, but they at one point, they're always thinking of Krishna, always reading scriptures of Krishna.
Yeah, but they deny his personality. You mean atheists or impersonalists? Yeah, there's do they get to see Yamaraj? That's a good question. There are different types of transcendentalists, and that's described in the Bhagavatam. And, you know, the yogis and the ascetics, they're still pious. There's still some piety there, right? There's a renunciation of sense gratification, you know, in that pursuit. So there's certainly a degree of elevation in that type of, even though there's animosity towards Krishna, there's attraction to the making some spiritual progress, right? So I think you could say, I'm speculating here, well, let's hear from others, but I would suggest that perhaps not, right? Because there's that tenet, they're not engaged in gross sense gratification, right? The jnanis, And so, you know, there may not be the same kind of punishment that awaits, you know, the materialistic persons. Any comments from anybody else? Thoughts on that? What's their destination? What's the destination of a impersonalist? Takes birth amongst a bunch of impersonalists.
Just continuing from what he has mentioned.
Yes. Yeah. The impersonal feature. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Prabhupada doesn't really mention what their destination is, other than that they may be elevated to an impersonal position, but will fall down eventually and come back into the material world. And he mentions they revert back to materialistic philanthropic activities, and so become, I guess, more materialistic. So, skirting dangerous, regions of existence, because you can become again a materialist and have to see Yamaraj be punished for not behaving properly, I suppose. If that's the case, and that's what Prabhupada says, they fall back to materialistic activities, right? And so if you're falling back to materialistic activities, then that means the Yamadutas might be paying you a call at the time of death for a bit of purification. But you see, also, they may take birth again in the human species, not as an animal, right? Because of elevated consciousness. So there's different. This is why Yamaraj is pointing out who the Yamadutas should bring to him for punishment and who they shouldn't. Huh? But obviously a little subtle area. Mahatmaji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nice class.
Hare Krishna.
We have seen so many devotees. They are surrendered, but how do you know that they are fully surrendered?
How to know they're fully surrendered? How do you know? How do you tell? There are qualifications by which one can determine who's an advanced devotee and who's not. Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. A pure devotee is always engaged in glorification of the Lord. They have a firm vow. They've taken, Yatantascha Drida Brataha. So there are qualifications by which we can identify someone or individuals as being dedicated, fully dedicated, but how do you tell who's fully dedicated, right? You have to look at a person's, you have to look at an individual's life almost to work out what's going on. Haridas Thakur says the qualification of a devotee, the most important qualification, is how attached they are to chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And we can then see from how attached they are to chanting Hare Krishna how detached they are from material pursuits, material life. Right? And then, as another measure, how attached they are to rendering service, to just doing service, right? It's not a measure of how many followers a person has or how well they speak necessarily, right? Right? But rather these three attachment to chanting, an attachment to devotional service, and then a consequent detachment from material pursuits, and then engagement in devotional service. These are pretty much the qualifications. And you'll see that in many devotees. Many devotees. They're not big devotees that everybody say jai, jai, jai when they walk in the room. But rather, they're devotees to be associated with because they're just... They show the symptoms of advancement. Right? So, chants Hare Krishna avoids materialistic association and materialistic pursuits and likes to serve.
And you said birds of the feather, same feather, flock away. Birds of the same feather, flock away.
Birds of the same feather, flock. I didn't say that, but that's true. You said it.
But,
yes, no, you're right. That's what ISKCON is all about. Yeah. Come together, chant Hare Krishna, do service. Peacock feathers. Well, Krishna has peacock feathers. We don't, but he does. Peacock feathers. Yeah. Sugade, what's your thoughts on how do we tell who's advanced or not?
Yeah, I think you summed it right. It's just how attached Krishna is and how detached.
Yeah, how attached they are to Krishna. And also detached from... Yeah. And so it can be in the, you know, in any devotee. Most devotees, actually. Like, I'm always amazed, you know, Sudhir works so hard at Gopal's and then he comes to the temple and what does he do? He hops in the kitchen. But he likes to cook. He likes to cook for the devotees. There's quite a few devotees down at Katani Gardens at the moment, I suppose, setting up for the festival today. Who's going to the festival? Yeah. It's going to be pretty darn hot. And yeah, no, me too. I'm resting most of the... I spent more time in bed this week than I think I've been out of it. I thought I was getting well on Thursday, and I went for a walk, and then I discovered that I wasn't. I spent the next 2 days back in bed. But a lot better now. Okay, any other comments, questions, thoughts? Hare Krishna. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.